Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a special show on, one that I'm looking forward to. I think we're going to learn a lot from this conversation because I think it affects everybody. If you're living in the world that we are living in right now, there's been a climate of fear. There's been anxiety, desperation. I'm seeing all of that in when I see patients in my office. And I'm getting concerned that there seems to be no off button. No matter what hurdle people or hoop people jump through, it's never enough. And the goalpost keeps getting moved. So today I wanted to have a conversation with a colleague who gets it and who actually has, I think, found an answer to the problem. And he is the living proof of it. And we're going to speak with Dr. Scott Werner. He practiced medicine. He started out as an OBGYN, but became a medical intuitive after curing his own cancer with herbs and healing energy. He voluntarily gave up his medical practice to focus on the real causes of disease. He currently does intuitive medical readings for clients, putting them on products which will help them the most. He currently also lectures many groups, including professionals in the U.S. and in many other countries. He teaches about healing, ascension, homeopathics, essential oils, energy medicine, and spiritual healing. Aside from being a speaker, he's also an author. And two of his books include Take Back Your Health and The Next Step in Human Evolution. And today we're going to talk about energy. I think that's something that we all experience, but I don't think we have a facility with. And I think as your mind and body are connected, it's very important now for us to understand what's coming at us, what we're feeling, and how we can be better defenders of our health. So Dr. Werner, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm looking so much forward to our conversation.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me.
Well, let's get right into it. You started off in a classical medical training, and as what I find with most doctors who go outside the box, there's something that happens that helps them achieve this or move towards this extra, I think, healing potential. What happened that changed you from an OBGYN to a medical intuitive?
Well, I've always been very intuitive. I was, when I was a kid, I had clairvoyance, which is being able to see the auric field of somebody else. And it got me in a lot of trouble because I'd say things to others about what was going on in their auric field and they'd beat me up or I had one kid who hit me in the head with a hoe and opened up my skull and kind of an interesting experience. And it kind of led me to becoming a medical doctor because I was able to see my own brain. The doctor that stitched me up, he put a big old mirror above my head and then another mirror so I could see what they were doing. And I could see my brain inside my skull because the hole had penetrated right into the sulci. I was only 6 years old at the time, but I remember it very vividly. And I was curious why he wasn't using anesthesia. And he says, oh, the brain doesn't feel anything, which got me thinking about things. And so even as a young child, then I had a near-death experience at 13 years old. I had alcohol toxicity, and it was interesting. I was in a coma for 3 days with the alcohol. When I came out of that, I had completely changed, and I had become clairaudient, which is able to hear the other side. And so I learned a lot about it. My brother was labeled schizophrenic because he listened and had clairaudience also, but he listened to the dark side and was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And I saw what happened to him, and I could see the entities around him telling him to do bad things. And that's when I chose, I'm only going to follow the good guys, the light beings. And so by the time I entered medical school, I'd actually had two near-death experiences. I served a mission for the LDS Church and went to South Florida, ended up in Puerto Rico, down in the Caribbean. I was riding my bike down the street to an appointment, and a car literally purposely veered off the road, going about 60 miles an hour, hit me and threw me into a telephone pole. And I woke up with a sheet over my head in the hospital. And it was quite fascinating, because when I sat up and threw the sheet off, the nurses started screaming, "Estaba muerto, estaba muerto, he was dead, he was dead." And I'm like, "I'm estoy vivo, tengo, you know, I'm fine." And it was interesting, because the doctor had taken x-rays of my bones, and I had broken my right femur, broken my pelvis, broken my arm, and broken my back. And he asked me if he could retake the x-rays. And I said, "Sure, why not?" You know, because back then I didn't know how bad x-rays were. But anyway, he took the x-rays and he showed me my first x-rays coming in. And sure enough, my back was broken, leg was broken, arm was broken. And he took the new x-rays and compared them. And he says, "You're a miracle." And, you know, and I was sore, but I could walk and I could do everything. And the next day I went out riding my bike again.
That's amazing. It's an amazing story.
So I've been through a lot. And when I got into medical school, coming back from that third event, I had what you call claircognizance. I just knew things about people and what was wrong with them. And I could hear a voice, which I recognized as the voice of Jesus, telling me what was wrong with people and what to do with them. And so it kind of changed my life. And so when I got finished with medical school, I became an OBGYN and trained in St. Louis first, delivering a lot of babies. And in St. Louis, we had we had kind of new agey attendings and the other residents, and we started teaching the women we were doing the obstetrical care for to send their babies love and talk to them and ask them to help them be delivered easily, and using all this new age positive mental attitude stuff. And it was fascinating, because our C-section rates started going down by them talking to their babies and asking them to come out easier and sending them love. We would have them play classical music that was very soothing. We had them eating better. And these were inner city people who didn't have money, and we actually got grants from the government to get them better food, teach them about nutrition, teach them about, you know, watching their calories so the babies didn't get too big, and all this different information. And it was amazing, because one to two out of 100 babies born were what we as doctors called bad babies. They had genetic problems, or they had, stillbirth, they had respiratory problems and all kinds of difficulties. And those fell totally away by helping the mothers send love and light and positive attitude toward their baby and their delivery. And it was amazing. We were all, you know, very amazed. And then when I became an OBGYN, I moved down to Phoenix, Arizona, because my wife wanted to be closer to her home there in Utah. And there we continued that, and I taught the residents there how to do this in the clinics, and they started having the same results, which was amazing. So using positive energy was very beneficial to being an OBGYN and teaching the women to be more positive and loving, had amazing shifting of the outcome of the delivery and everything. And we continued to have amazing results where we literally, the women we did the prenatal care for and taught these things to them, we had 0 out of 100 bad babies, which to me was absolutely amazing. And I discussed this with Bruce Lipton. I met Bruce Lipton in about 1996, talked to him about it. And he says, oh, you're just practicing the biology of belief.
Wow.
So quite interesting.
Quite indeed. Let's take our first break because I want to expand on that when we come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Werner. And before the break, you were giving just amazing examples of how much power we have in our ability to be positive, to think good thoughts, to lead with our heart. We're dealing with a lot of people that it's become all about me and how I can advance it on the backs of somebody else. And it's become very negative. Everything we're exposed to is trying to pull us away from everybody. But what you just described, if a mom can have that kind of positive energy and have an outcome with, and especially in a population that you know has a bigger effect in mortality of infants and other issues, to have that drop dramatically, have you seen that also translate to other medical issues, cancer or heart attacks and other diseases that pervade our society?
Yeah, in St. Louis, I was exposed to a lethal dose of radiation taking care of a cancer patient, and I was exposed to high doses of radioactive iridium that we used to kill the cancer in a lady with vaginal cancer, and the physician hadn't tightened down the tubes. It was a liquid, and the liquid was leaking out, and I, as the intern, I had to go in and put, you know, leaded apron, leaded gloves and everything. And the lady was just screaming and driving all the nurses and the other patients crazy. And so I went in, cleaned her up, put all the radiation into a receptacle. And when I took off all the leaded aprons, leaded masks, leaded everything, my badge had turned black. And when I moved down to Phoenix, I developed malignant melanoma, stage 4. I was having headaches, and we had just bought a brand new MRI machine, and the radiologist was one of my buddies, and he said, well, let's put you in and see what's going on. So he put me in, and he found that I had 3 tumors on my brain, 3 on my spine. And so he said, we need to find the primary. And I said, well, I've had this bad looking mole for a while. And we biopsied it. And sure enough, it was malignant melanoma. And it had a little track going down into my spine where the other tumors were. And melanoma does spread very easily into the brain. And so with the diagnosis and everything, they told me, well, they tested against the chemotherapy and it didn't do anything to it. The radiation made it grow. And so they decided not to do anything. And they told me, go home, get your house in order. You'll probably be dead in 2 months. And, you know, with my positive mental attitude stuff, I thought I can beat this. So I went home and I prayed, and the name Hulda Clark came to me. I went to the clinic the next day and my desk had been totally cleared off. And there was the name Hulda Clark on this paper. that talked about how cancer was caused by parasites, fungus, and virus, and toxins, and radiation. And I read the article, and it made perfect sense. And her name and number was at the end, so I dialed the number. And Hulda Clark answered the phone, and she was a microbiologist in Chicago, Illinois at the time. And she was writing the book, The Cure for All Cancers. And I was very interested. She told me what to do to cure my cancer. I did everything she told me except divorce my wife, because she said I was in a toxic relationship. And within 2 months, instead of being dead, all my tumors had disappeared, and I had lost 40 pounds. I was a big guy. I was 6'1", 260 pounds, and I went down to 220 pounds. And all the women in my practice were noticing I was losing weight. And they were like, Dr. Werner, what are you doing to lose weight? And I just tell them, well, I'm doing these parasite cleanses and all these different things. And they were very impressed. And they're like, well, we want to do that. And so I would put them on parasite cleanses and antivirals, antifungals. And I was an expert laparoscopist. And I had lined people up to do their surgeries with ovarian cysts, uterine fibroids, uterine tumors, ovarian and tubal endometriosis, you know, all kinds of ailments. And I'd go in to do the surgery with video documentation to get the insurance company to agree to pay for the surgery. And I would find no pathology because they had done these cleanses and it actually got rid of the endometriosis. It would get rid of the uterine tumors. It would get rid of the ovarian cysts and tumors. And I was very impressed. And I would, you know, I wondered, why don't they teach us this stuff in medical school? And it's because they can't make money off of not doing surgery and not doing chemo, not doing radiation and all these things. And so I learned very early in my career about parasites. And I want to expand that a little bit. I learned as I did more learning about alternative medicine, I came to find that all of our emotions can actually cause disease. Emotions are energy, and negative emotions cause negative energy in our bodies and can activate bad genetics. It can activate parasites to come in, because when we're in fear, and especially anxiety, it allows parasites. That's the vibration of parasitic formation in our body. So we get these things energetically first, and then it develops and creates it within our bodies. And so right now, the powers that be know that fear and anxiety feeds death. It feeds creatures that come in and start feeding on us, causing cancer, causing all kinds of problems. And anxiety is very similar. On Dr. David Hawkins, who was an MD, PhD, he wrote and made what we call the map of consciousness. And David Hawkins was a MD psychiatrist. And what caused him to go that direction was he had a client come in who he prescribed Prozac to. She came in and slammed the drug down on his desk and said, this doesn't test good for me. And he's like, what do you mean test? And she said, my chiropractor tested this and he said it was bad. And he says, well, chiropractors are dumb and crazy. And so he said, how'd he test you? With kinesiology. So he set out to prove kinesiology didn't work. Kinesiology is muscle testing and using energy. Kinesia is energy. Ology is the study of, but kinesiology was kind of brought down to be muscle testing. And he went out and using his PhD abilities, did a study on kinesiology, and he actually found it worked. And then he started testing everything, and he noticed there wasn't a chart or anything to compare it to. And so he made what we call the map of consciousness. And you can look that up on the internet, David Hawkins' map of consciousness. And Hawkins is H-A-W-K-I-N-S. And very interesting guy. I actually met all these people. I met David Hawkins at a Hay House conference and discussed with him a lot of the things. And he was literally testing through space and time the different vibrations of different people in the past, even, and even measured Jesus Christ at the vibration of 1,000, which he labeled Christ consciousness. And so it was quite interesting how he made this map of consciousness. Now, what this has to do with parasites is parasites vibrate at 100 on his scale from zero, having no energy at all, to 1,000, Christ consciousness. Parasites vibrate in at 100 on his scale, so it's very low. And it's not 100 to 200 isn't a double higher, it's actually 1,000 times higher energy, good energy. And so parasites vibrate in fear and anxiety. And so what they've created with this pandemic is the energy of parasites coming into your body and harming you, because parasites actually cause great harm to the body. And viruses actually vibrate at a scale, on the scale, at about 30 to 50. So they aren't even hardly alive. Well, they're not, they can't live without being in our cells, but they vibrate in shame, blame, and guilt, which is the lowest vibrations emotionally humans get into. And so we're dealing with parasites, shame, blame, and guilt. You know, they use a lot of guilt to make us go get the immunization, to do stupid things. And you know, we're actually lowering our oxygenation, which actually helps us fight viruses. Having a higher oxygenation by wearing masks, we actually lower our oxygen levels and make it more difficult to keep viruses and bacteria out of our bodies.
Now, Dr.
So
Warner,
everything they're telling us is the opposite.
Let me stop you there, because you're on a roll and it's really important that people take that in. So let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Scott Warner. And before the break, you were really getting into extrapolating real time of what people are feeling and how that's connected to disease. And, you know, I have to go and look at this this map myself, because it seems like there's no accident with anything, is there? We've had commercials now pop up where there's grandparents getting to hug their grandchildren coming into their homes. So looks like the first time in months. And they're giving you this guilt and carrot of, if you go along and get along, everything will go back to normal. And so it's this overwhelming pressure. And patients are telling me that they're being told they're being called names, and they're being ostracized, and they're being almost coerced from a social standpoint to go along with the program, so to speak. And it's being driven. You just said a mouthful about fear and guilt. It's setting us up, isn't it, for this to persist?
Oh, absolutely. And the book that I couldn't remember here, I found it on my shelf while we were on the break. And it's called Power Versus Force by David Hawkins, MD, PhD. And it's a wonderful book if you're a scientist, but it's very hard to understand if you're a layman or uneducated, because he's very in-depth. But another thing I kind of wanted to bring up is Joe Slate, who was in the military. He was a PhD psychologist, and he dealt with a lot of PTSD. And right now, we are being hit with PTSD through all of the stuff going on during this epidemic. And it's quite fascinating because he wrote a book called Psychic Vampires. And it's the reason I'm bringing this up is that even our interaction with other humans, sometimes we can suck out energy out of other humans through their fear and anxiety. And there's actually, I know this doesn't sound very scientific, but Saint Germain came to me about 7 years ago, giving me the 24-strand DNA manifestation, and he taught how the original humans who lived almost 1,000 years, like Noah, Methuselah, Adam, you know, all these people in the Old Testament, they'd live 900-plus years, and it was because they had perfected DNA, 24 strands of perfected DNA in 12 double helix. And these would bind into rope DNA, which kept radiation and different things from affecting their bodies because it was more protected. Whereas today, you know, we only have 2 strands of DNA. I was a geneticist. I actually studied genetics also, and I would counsel women and families about genetic disorders when they tested. And as I would teach the women to have more love, the children, they would come out perfect, even though they had a genetic disorder. And we'd retest their genetics, and they had actually transformed the DNA into perfected DNA using love. Well, when Saint Germain appeared to me and gave me the divine invocation of creating 24 strands of perfected DNA into their bodies, I came to find that their diseases would go away. They would become happier, healthier, stronger, more beautiful human beings. And it was because they were adding that perfected DNA into their bodies. And it was amazing. I've seen people shift their consciousness by doing this. And it's available on my website at scottwerner.org. It's a free download for those who want to go download it. And it's valuable for creating good energy, positive energy, and developing and creating the perfected DNA back into your bodies. And we as humans, you know, we've been dummied down to believe we can't do these mystical magic things, but we were created in the likeness and image of God, and we are in fact God's an embryo, and can create. I mean, we can create houses, cars, trucks, skyscrapers, you know. There's no limit to what us humans can do when we are empowered through our creativity. But when we have our power taken away from us through fear, through anxiety, through shame, blame, and guilt, we actually stop progressing. And so it's very important for us to remember who we are and our abilities as creators.
That's so gratifying. That gives you so much hope. And I guess the next corollary question is, how do we make that first step? I mean, we're now in a position, I think a lot of people are, like you said, living in fear, hopeless, and feel like they want to be taken care of. How do you make that jump? Do you just get tired of it? And is it prayer? What is the thing that you think would be a magic movement or switch that people can turn to start that path or to start down that path? Because it's key.
Yes. Well, the dark night of the soul is usually what wakes people up. And let me tell you, we're living in this world in the dark night of the soul because of all the fear, all the anxiety, all the pain, and the loss of hope, the loss of faith. You know, the powers that be want us to be living in a paradigm of fear And, you know, they did studies with fear in the 1960s in the military. They had 100 Army recruits come in, and they told them, you know, they hooked an IV up to them. They told them they were going to inject poison that would kill them. And they were only injecting saline. And after eight of them died, they said, hey, we're sorry. This was just a study. And we didn't mean to kill these people, but their fear actually killed them.
Right.
And so when we go into fear of dying, guess what happens to us? We're our own, you know, we foretell our own future through our belief system. And so what we need to do is get back into hope, back into faith, back into the higher belief systems that will make us healthier and happier, and it works. You know, as I've done the herbs over the last 34 years, starting with my own cancer that I cured with the herbs, I've helped thousands of people. I figure I've seen about 28,000 people since, you know, in my 34 years and teaching them these things. And we've helped many of them overcome chronic disease and autoimmune disease, all kinds of different things. And we've used the power of their own body's immune system by adding herbs, by teaching them positive mental attitude, teaching them to believe, teaching them to have faith in God. Because believe it or not, having faith in a higher power brings that power into your body and helps you to heal. And it's been an amazing journey.
It sounds like it. And, you know, from a medical standpoint, I mean, there's so many ways to heal. I think people, and doctors specifically, need to get out of that box of you have to write a prescription in order to get the result. We're figuring this out pretty quickly, that medication is not the end all be all. And things that we're putting in our body now, which the promise of making us free, is not what it's cracked up to be. And from your standpoint, you talk about the heart and about love. We're talking about, is it a chakra? Is it the concept, the Hawaiian concept of, I think, Ho'oponopono? I can't pronounce that well.
Ho'oponopono.
Yes.
Ho'oponopono. Yes, it's the process that Hugh Lynn learned from the kahunas, and I actually learned it from the kahunas when I wrote my first book, Take Back Your Health, in Hawaii. 12 big kahunas appeared to me. I was going to write my memoirs, but they said, nope, you're going to write this book. And they gave me all these different healing modalities, including Ho'oponopono, and included them in the book with examples. And when I got the book done, it became what we call an oracle book, where you could hold it in your hands, ask what you should do that day, and open it up, and it would take you exactly what you needed. It was quite an amazing book. And the second book is The Next Step in Human Evolution, which is about the 24-strand DNA manifestation and perfecting our DNA. And then Saint Germain sent me down to South America to heal Father Gabriel Mejia. And I found he was helping all these kids who were left homeless and as orphans, and they were prostituting themselves in the streets to live. And so they were, you know, basically human slaves being bought and paid for by whoever had money. And they were abused. And Father Gabriel was helping these kids get rid of all of the bad energies and habits and things that they were being exposed to. And these kids were orphaned by our cocaine wars started by the CIA down there to generate money for their clandestine operations down in Colombia, South America. And so I learned a lot about that, but that's my third book. And I published that in 2017, and it has the perfect ways how to rehabilitate all these kids that have been enslaved and abused and prostituted in what currently is going on here in the United States. And you know, when they opened up the border, they're bringing a lot of these children in, not because the children want to come in the United States. The cartels bring them up here to serve in the enslavement camps of the cabal. And it's quite fascinating what I've learned about all these things just from being in touch with the ascended beings, the ascended masters, especially Jesus.
I think if we can all get to that level, I think a lot of our discord and sadness and the things that go on in our societies worldwide would be a different place. On that note, let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Scott Werner. And before the break, you gave us a website that people can go and download one of your, one of the things that can help people take their power back. Can you repeat the website again for us?
Yeah, it's that .scott Werner, W-E-R-N-E-R, .org, or scottwernermd.com, all lowercase. And it's under the free download, and it's the 24-strand DNA manifestation called the Divine Invocation. So we're actually invoking the energies to create these things. And we use the angels and the star children, who are the keepers of the perfected human DNA, to bring that perfected DNA into our bodies again. And the most remarkable thing that happened was I had a guy who was hooked on heroin for over 40 years, and he was at his last leg. He was suicidal, and I talked to him over the phone, and I told him what he needed to do, and he actually did the 24-strand DNA manifestation, and it takes 144 days of doing it once a day. It takes about 5 minutes. Anyway, he completed it, and he went to give himself his heroin the morning after he completed it, and he looked at the needle, and he says, I don't need this anymore. And he quit, and he didn't have withdrawals, and he kept wondering, God, what happened? How come I'm able to not have to take this heroin anymore? And a week later, he called me up, and he says, Scott, I have to admit, what you taught me worked. And I no longer have any need for the heroin, and I didn't even have withdrawal. And he said how much better he felt, how closer to God he felt. And what was interesting, what I've learned about the DNA, the telomeres, which a lot of people just think are the connections on the DNA, that when they divide, you know, a little bit of the telomeres break off, and when you lose all the telomere, the DNA dies and the cell dies. But what they found is when we have perfected DNA, the telomeres actually stay and they recreate too. And so you live longer. And the other interesting thing, whoever named them telomeres, telo is communication and mirrors is a word for dimensions. So you communicate with more dimensions through your telomeres. So it connects you better to God, to the higher dimensions. And it's amazing how powerful just this divine invocation is. And if you'd like the pictures of the archangels and the decrees, just shoot me an email to scott.healthlongevityinc@gmail.com, which is on my website. You can get it there. And just shoot us an email that you'd like the archangel holograms and the decrees for putting my world in divine order, which actually puts protection around you from all the problems in the world. And we can send those to you, print them on a color printer on photographic paper, because these holographic images actually bring energy in from the angels.
Just to backtrack, you mentioned Ho'oponopono. Is there a prayer that goes with that? It's like forgiveness, isn't it? Isn't that the essence of that? You forgive yourself, you forgive.
The essence, yes, the essence of it is you say, I love you to the individual you have a conflict with or a problem with. And then you say, I'm sorry for what happened between us and discuss that a little bit. And you do this telepathically. And then you say, I forgive you and I forgive myself for my thoughts of judgment against you. And then you express gratitude for everything that has transpired, and you again start over again saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I forgive myself, and I'm grateful. And you actually shift your consciousness with them, and believe it or not, they feel the energy. We're all interdimensionally connected as humans. And so as you're doing the Ho'oponopono, it actually helps them to forgive you for whatever happened and love you and be grateful and feel that divine sorrow. So it's a very powerful method of healing.
It also sounds that you're taking responsibility, which I think is the beginnings of everything, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And we as humans were very telepathic, but we've been not taught how to do it. And, you know, I've met secret space program soldiers who have come back from outer space, and, you know, they have been trained in telepathy because there's some species of beings out there that only communicate through telepathy. And when I talked about the Ho'oponopono, they were like, boy, we've got to use that against some of these aliens because they're kind of naughty. And I said, yes, tell them you love them. Tell them you forgive them for any negative feelings towards the humans. And they started using it, and they actually reported back to me that the Ho'oponopono even worked with the communication to other beings out there in outer space. So quite interesting stuff. And one of the things that Hugh Lynn found, he worked with the criminals, the you know, psychopaths that were in jail there in Hawaii, and doing the Ho'oponopono, they became good people. And actually, they had to close down the prison for all the psychopaths because he cured them all from their problems and their despicable natures and cleared them with the Ho'oponopono.
We need to have that on like 24/7 now.
Oh, I do it all the time. I wake up every night about 2:30 to 3 o'clock, and I start Ho'oponoponoing. I meditate, and I communicate, and I pray, and it's wonderful. It's a good life.
Well, if it sounds, and it is, peaceful, and living in gratitude is a whole different energy. And instead of what you don't have and what you mourn that you've lost, you actually are grateful for what is and what's coming. It's just a different mindset. You don't have a chance to be negative. You don't have the time to hate on other people. And I would ask us a corollary to this question. For those of us who really want to ascend, who want to think outside the box, who want to live in peace, how do we protect ourselves? I know you just said you can pray for others. But is there something that we need to do so we can see these folks coming and block them or not even get involved so we can be in any position to have our energy suctioned from us?
Well, everything is energy. And the dark forces want us to be in fear. They want us to have anxiety. They want us to be in shame, blame, and guilt, all these really low vibrations. And when we lift ourselves up to the higher vibrations, we actually instill those higher vibrations in all those around us, even our enemies. That's why Jesus said to forgive 7 times 70 times is we need to be in higher states of forgiveness, compassion, love, kindness, and meditation, where we bring these beautiful bliss and happiness into our consciousness. And by doing that, the blood-sucking vampires can't suck out what isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have higher vibrations, they actually start to change. They're no longer psychopathic. They're no longer parasitic, and they become better human beings. And that's through our own telepathy, through our own feelings in higher states of consciousness. You know, they did studies with these meditators out. They brought 2,000 meditators from Fairfield, Iowa, doing transcendental meditation to Washington, D.C., and it had the highest crime rate, the highest murder rate in the United States. And this was done like 30 years ago. And the murder rate dropped down to zero. Assault, battery, rapes, everything dropped down to almost zero as these meditators were bringing the love consciousness into that area. And they did it for about a year, and then they quit and they had to all go back home because the study ran out of money. But the rate slowly went back up.
Wow.
And so they invited them to come back and do it again, and the same thing happened. And so meditation and prayer is so powerful. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you and do bad things to you, because those prayers are actually answered. And when you go into the gratitude, gratitude is the ultimate energy of receivership. So if you don't have what you desire, express gratitude for what you would like to have, and believe it or not, it attracts it to you. And the law of attraction can work both ways. If you're negative, it'll attract negativity to you. If you're positive, it'll attract positive things to you. And so it's very important that we control our minds, control our thoughts with good things, and not feed into the bad things. You know, a lot of the movies we're watching, the news we're watching is so negative, and we have to turn off our TV set and get back into God consciousness and the love of God, and bring the love of God into our hearts, mind, and soul, because that's how Jesus taught. He said, he had a Pharisee ask him, what's the greatest commandment, trying to trip him up, and he says, the main commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. So by bringing the love in from God, we love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. How can we love ourselves and love our neighbor if we don't have that love within us? And so developing that love by praying for love to come into your heart, mind, and soul actually shifts your consciousness and helps you be a better neighbor and love your neighbor.
Dr. Werner, I'm so sorry the show's ending, but that was a beautiful note to end it on. And I hope everybody listening and will share this podcast to their friends, their neighbors, because this is how we as humanity take our power back and do what we're supposed to do, which is to be one, and especially one with God. So for the few seconds that we have left, how do people get your books and go to your website again?
All the books are available on Amazon.com. In fact, I don't even have any more Take Back Your Health because I'm revising it. And the revision won't be out for a year and a half, but I'm adding new chapters to it. Our website is scottwerner.org. And you just type in Scott, go into Amazon, type in Scott Werner, W-E-R-N-E-R, and it'll take you to my three books there on the internet. And just enjoy them and know that they were written with the higher beings.
Well, again, thank you, Dr. Werner. God bless you. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.